Welcome to GamerCast, episode 93. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And welcome to GamerCast.
I'm really gamer guy.
On 21st of October. We were going to be doing a particular review on Legend of Zelda on the DS and my versions of Orange Box on the Xbox 360, but the banks have been slow and I've yet to receive my money. So unfortunately it'll be next week we'll be doing that review. Hopefully the money will be through then and I can go purchase the damn games. But we do have some other reviews for today.
Yeah, but first of all we got some news items, which we'll go straight into because we have no letters. First news item, PC Gears of War is finished.
It's on gold.
It's in production. Gears of War.
That's going to be quite good, I must admit. I'm presuming that it would be very stupid on their part if they even took out the co-op, which means that this is going to be a live game, isn't it?
This is a game to Windows live.
Which means that now PC players will be able to enjoy playing a great game of Gears of War while still having the co-op drop in, drop out.
Hopefully.
Which should be really good. I must admit it's going to be a good one for... Have they said whether or not it's going to be like Halo 2 where it'll be a Vista-only game?
I think it's Windows XP as well, but right. To make use of the live stuff, you need to be on a Vista.
Vista. That's cool.
Let's actually find out. Or maybe not. Gifts of War.
Now that would be a great game, Gifts of War.
Don't do that, we'll get sued by a CompuServe or somebody.
Gears of War. That's that thing that keeps killing me. That's
the berserker.
Yeah, because it's like a female that sniffs you out or something. Weird, like a dog. Gears of War on the PC. Loading.
GameSpot is slow.
Let's see what they have to say.
See, it's got some extra content as well, like some extra levels.
Which is always good. I'm going to get to the point. Oh, here we go. Fact sheet.
The facts are, this game rocks.
This game rocks.
Let's just search for the minimum requirements. So this is from E3, so yeah, it's coming to Vista and XP.
That's cool.
As I said. So yeah, it also joins Viva Pinata in the trip for Windows Land.
Oh, cool. It did say the co-op there. Unknown requirements, Gears of War PC will come with 5 new single player missions and all with cooperative play via games for Windows Live.
Also a level editor as well.
That's cool. Yeah, because a lot of people said that the online battles were quite good if you could get into them. So I suppose for that, it means PC players will be really liking the multiplayer action on that. And again, it means you can also hook up the Xbox 360 controller wirelessly for playing that, which will keep things smooth. Because I don't know whether that game is actually going to be better with a mouse or still sticking with the Xbox 360 controller. Obviously, you're not going to go and buy it because...
I might buy it.
You're tempted about it? Seeing you've got it on the Xbox 3.
If I have the opportunity of getting more gamer score, then I may buy it. But if it just uses the existing gamer score, then I may be less tempted.
Yeah, because that's something we've never been able to look at, because Halo 2 has gamer score, but it doesn't have its own version because Halo 2 was only on the Xbox, so...
But Shadowrun shares a gamer score.
Yeah.
So we don't really know yet.
But Shadowrun is the only one that uses the system to run side by side with its PC cousin to its Xbox 360 version, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you can play together.
Cross-platform.
So maybe because it's cross-platform, it's cross-gamer score, where this is probably not cross-platform. You can't play... You know, if you had it on the PC, I can borrow your copy of your Xbox 360 and joint co-op with you, I'm presuming.
Yeah, we assume that's the case.
That it's PC-only segregated game. So, otherwise they would have advertised it as cross-platform as well.
Yeah,
so,
they would have made more noise about it.
Yeah, because the cross-platform is a big jump to be able to play games. Because that also means that if it's out there, I'm hoping that more games companies utilize the feature, because it means if you're doing...
They should do.
Especially if you're kind of like, you know, weren't that fussed about releasing it on any other console apart from the Xbox 360, but you wanted to hit the PC market because you know that you would make your sales there, then adding that ability to play together adds a larger multiplayer aspect to it. As I must admit, I'm waiting for someone to maybe do cross-platforming for a massive multiplayer online game. See, that would be quite cool. Because if they
here
brought
we
it
go,
out,
you managed to get WoW into GamerCast with only 6 minutes down.
Hey, I didn't mention WoW, I said massive multiplayer. It didn't have to be RPG.
We
massive.
Know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or something similar.
Wow. Anyway, also interesting news. Battlestar Galactica is coming out this week on PC and Xbox 360. This is live arcade jobby, so something like it. It's a 3D shooter, but it's like, you know, obviously not too high end.
Well, that's cool.
So that's good for Battlestar Galactica fans. I will be downloading the demo because it will be downloaded automatically by the Xbox.
It's automatically downloaded? Oh, you mean you...
Yeah, because it downloads the arcade games automatically. Remember, that's what the 360 does?
Oh, okay.
Downloads new arcade games.
You set it up to download all the new ones automatically?
Yeah.
Where's that option? Is it in the
Live
Arcade?
It's in Live Arcade somewhere, yeah.
Oh, cool. I might get that to do that now that I'm not on wireless. Yeah, I just noticed there that the British government is recruiting Tom Clancy games.
Gamers. Yeah, they're recruiting the games to fight in the rack
for. Actually, yes. Sarah sent me a link off the Times newspaper about this, that future spies are actually using it for recruiting, sort of thing.
They're training spies by playing Splinter Cell.
Yeah, double agent sort of thing.
That's ridiculous. Like, being an actual real-life spy is anything like playing for Tom Clancy
I suppose
games.
They're looking for people's mentality.
No, they're
the
not.
Brain thinking.
They're absolutely desperate for somebody to do their dirty jobs for them. So they try and use some Chavik game to, like, get the Chavik underclasses involved.
Exactly.
It's like America's Army. Gee, this game, we openly admit, is funded by the American Army to recruit kids to war. It should be banned.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
What else have we got?
Something about... Researchers prove massively multiplayer online RPGs disrupt social lives and
yeah,
consume time.
Because they design it a way that you can't, you know, you people want to be the higher level, so you move further and further forward. The problem is, Star Wars, bloody Sony here, Star Wars was a complete and utter sellout. The Star Wars Galaxies was one of the only ones where there was no levels. You didn't level your character up, you leveled your skills up. And if you leveled a set of skills to a certain one, it unlocked another skill set. So you'd have to level up, like, marksmanship with a gun and some other things, and that would unlock Bounty Hunter. Where now you can pick Bounty Hunter from straight off, like you would in WoW. You choose what class you want to be. Where this, you can mix and match lots of classes together. Which meant that you didn't have a level, you were just working your way up in the social standing. Where in WoW, you have a number printed to your forehead that says, you're level 32
noob.
Mage, you know, and you can't do this, this, and this, and it's really cool, but you can't do this, this, and this, and you want to play with your friends, you're going to have to level up really quickly. And everybody's hiking.
Everybody goes level, level, level. What's your level? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So I think that's the problem of it, is the fact that you automatically become noob social standing. You can't do this, you can't do that, you've got to level up. And it is time consuming. People see everybody running past with a mount. Everybody wants a mount, so you spend your time.
I want to save my money.
But it's like City Heroes, it's similar with the fact that everybody wants new powers. But the difference with that is I find that one less, because you're not spending your time trying to level up. When you get your character, fair enough, you want to get your flying ability or running fast. But once you've got it, you're not spending all your time trying to level up. It just happens in the background. Most people just play the game. You forget about leveling. So that one's not as bad, but yeah, a lot of people on WoW, they're just continuously trying to do that level, 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 level. I can't do this, so I need this level. I want this armor, I want to get this level. I need to get more gold, keep playing the game constantly. So yeah, I could agree with that, that it does take so much of your time because it takes so long to do, but the only reason they did it was to make you play the game for longer, so you're continuously throwing money into the subscription. If you completed everything, you won't want to play it anymore, you'd cancel your subscription. It's all about the money in the end of the day. But that's the problem with massive multiplayer online games.
Anyway, we were just going to talk about PlayStation 3 sales being down. So yeah, PS3 sales are down. That's really all we can say. They're down from September compared to August. I am so surprised. But more importantly, the Xbox 360 overtook the Wii in September.
Yeah. Yeah, I must admit, Wii sales, they're still high. Everyone's trying to get all the bits and bobs, and there's a lot of stuff out there.
This little thing called Halo 3 came out.
Yeah, and that bumped the sales up. You got Halo 3, you had the Elite just before, so you had people wanting to save up for the Elite. You got the Halo 3 edition of the Xbox 360, which looks awesome. So, all of this, and then with Orange Box and stuff like that coming out.
Orange Box, PGR4, man.
Everything's taken off again, and I must admit, the Wii, I love my Wii, but it is kind of like, come on,
where's the games?
Fair enough, we're going to have released on double with the fact that on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 and PC as well, you'll have Assassin's Creed coming out. Same time you will have...
16th of November?
Yeah, at the same time we will have Mario Galaxies being released, which is a big hitter for the Wii, and you're going to get a lot of people wanting to buy this game. Almost Sarah wants me to get it, just for the fact that it's the new Mario game. So you're going to have a lot of Wii sales there, but there's a lot of games coming out of the Xbox 360, and the Wii needs to start smacking them out. I know that they're going on about that they've got their Wii Fitness with the new balance board and Mario Kart.
Now, boring.
For the people who own Wii, people will be wanting these games, but they haven't got them out yet. So the Wii's going to have to pull something big cat out of the bag ready for Christmas, otherwise the sales aren't going to
a
be
big
as
big cat.
You know what I mean? They're going to have to pull something out of the sleeves of... You want the Wii for this reason, not just for the Wii.
What, they're going to bring out Blinks? Because he was a cat, wasn't he? Blinks, a time sweeper.
Because that's the other thing, is I'm going to have to try and get Nintendo to give me free games on my Wii, because I've lost all the games I paid for. Which is a complete pain in the ass.
At least with Xbox, you sign in.
Yeah. Get them all back across. I'm half tempted not to buy as many of those back again because of...
Just have them crap.
Yeah, and just for the fact that I know I can have them on the Xbox 360.
High definition?
Well, like Street Fighter was on there and Sonic and stuff like that, I'll just get the, you know, the classic Nintendo ones that I want. But at the moment, I'm just not fussed.
So yeah, generally expected the Xbox 360 will continue to outsell the Wii because the Wii is in short supply.
Everything's in short. It's in high demand, but it's all in short supplies, so it all depends on how many they can knock out for Christmas, whether or not people get them. And that's the thing, Christmas is the thing. They'll either want it and they won't be able to receive it, or the children will end up going, oh, I'll have a 360 instead. As soon as they have purchased that 360, that's it, the sales will be on 360 from then onwards. So it all depends how we can get those out, and I hope that no one goes to the PlayStation 3 for Christmas. That'd just be bad. But
well, 300 quid isn't too bad now.
Yeah.
It's a more realistic price, which they should have started with.
But then if you look at it, you are buying a second-gen console and you are downgrading to get to an affordable price of 300. Where if you pay an affordable price of 300, you're upgrading on an Xbox 360. You know, does the cheaper... What is the connections on PlayStation 3? It, for the TV. Does it have HDMI?
It has HDMI and SCART and all the other normal ones.
But does the 300 one have HDMI cable? Or have they removed that for that one?
It's probably got an HDMI port. I imagine they wouldn't remove that because that would be kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously trying to push the whole thing. Is that on Blu-ray player? Blu-ray. Oh, look, we don't have any Universal or Paramount films, but Blu-ray.
Yeah, because it won't be stupid enough to... Obviously, you can't take the Blu-ray player out because it's integrated for the games, but... Yeah, it's kind of silly that, you know, that price...
Blu-ray.
Is, you know, you can... Blu-ray. For that price, you can get a top-of-the-range Xbox 360 Elite, so... It's kind of like...
But, if you want to play HD DVDs, it's another 100 quid.
Yeah, true.
Which is why Microsoft need to slash 100 quid off the price. Go in there, guns blazing, finish them off.
Mm.
They're weak, they're down on the floor, you just need a stamp on their head.
It would have been better if maybe...
Gears of War style.
Yeah, I must admit, it probably would have been hard for them to do, but if, like, the Elite...
Just do it, spend the money, finish the PlayStation off.
If had the HD drive built into it or something like that.
Well, there are rumours that Microsoft are working with Toshiba on a new Xbox console with an HD DVD drive built in. Which, there's also more rumours about it slotting into Toshiba televisions. So, for example, a Toshiba television will have an expansion slot where you can slot this Xbox in.
Xbox 360 HDD drive.
So, yeah, the rumours are more of this is a really high-end. Some of the rumours were it had, like, HD tuners as well in it. So it'd be like a whole package, but there's just rumours at the moment.
Mm.
But, yeah, Microsoft, I think, need to bundle the HD DVD drive.
Even if just for a short period of time. They did that for Christmas.
Bundle it, take the hit. Yes, it's going to cost some money, but it doesn't matter.
Just run out a limited edition version. So I have noticed on Play that, because you've got the Elite controllers, so you can have wired, wireless, and Elite, the black ones. They've actually gotten released now, official pink ones and blue ones.
Yeah, different colours.
So they're pushing out the different colours. Curious whether or not they'll release consoles in those colours, or they're just going to look to see as like a sales market.
Pink Xbox.
How many people buy
this
the pink
PlayStation.
One? How many people buy those different colour controllers? But to be honest, I don't think you need that. With having lots, having four controllers, if you know your sister plays on it, she can have that one. Your brother wants blue, so he has that one. You have your Elite one. Your dad plays with your old
skanky one, which is packed up.
The grey one. You know, everybody's got their own controller. It adds that extra flavour and colour, the same as like what it is with like the N64.
Well, yeah, I know
stuff
which
like
controller
that.
Is my controller because if I shake mine, there's a little rattle on the analog stick.
Oh, right.
That's how I know which one's mine.
You prefer
because
one,
my
right?
D-pad works better.
Ah, right. I was gonna
so
say
that's
why
the secret.
I see why you prefer the rattle then, because the D-pad works better. But yeah, it'd be interesting. They did that sort of thing that was, you know, like they released the limited edition crystal and the green one, which really bumped the sales up a lot on the Xbox. And they have released them with games built in. It'd be nice if they did one, say, no games, but HD DVD drive, and maybe one cheap, high-definition DVD bundled in with it. And then, fair enough, you bump up the price a little bit, but you're making it cheaper than buying them separately. You'd get a lot of people very tempted. Ooh, we've just got news in for the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Not just the Brazilian Grand Prix, the world champion.
World champion. And who won?
Raikkonen. In your face, Hamilton and Hamilton's baggy crowd of retards.
But yeah, as I was saying, bundled that up for Christmas.
That'd Raikkonen be... for the win, since you interrupted me in the middle of that race. Yeah, Ferrari for the win.
Vroom.
Yeah, Hamilton finished in a 7th place.
Cool.
It is cool, man. In your face, Hamilton and his evil band of followers. Because, of course, if he fracking won, it would be always on the news for like 2 or 3 weeks. Hamilton won the thing. So, yeah, Raikkonen for the win, which is who I always wanted to win because I'm a Ferrari fan. Cool. Yeah, so what were you saying?
That really they ought to go for the like the Christmas bundle. Only throw out so many boxed together. You know.
Well, it's what I would like to see happen because I mean bundle the HD/DVD drive with the premium system and the Elite. You know, don't integrate it into the hardware. Just have the standalone system and take the hit.
Yeah, all you got to do is add a little different packaging to fit it in.
Yeah, you just need a different box. Well, you don't even need a different box. You can flip in, sell it to the retailers at zero cost and just let the retailers discount it to zero.
Hmm.
Like they do with the Forza and extra controller bundle.
Yeah. Yeah, if they wanted to just
do that,
that.
And it would win the console war. We would win the console war this year and not have to wait 2 years.
And just have it for a limited time only during Christmas.
It would win the console war.
What would you say would be the best way if they did that, just to do it with the premium?
It would win. It would win everything.
Will that thing work on a core?
Would it work on anything.
Especially non-updated core.
Well, it comes with a software disconnect, which will update the machine.
Yeah. No, I meant in the sense that you haven't added anything in, like, hard drive and stuff like that.
Yeah, it will work on a normal 360.
That's cool.
But nobody buys a core. I don't think we've even got any cores in stock.
Yeah, a lot of people just want the core
because
they want
it's being phased out for the arcade scoop, which comes with, like, Pac-Man and some other weird arcade games on, like, a 512 megabyte memory card.
Well, that's cool.
And that will replace the core. Well, it's only been officially announced in North America, but it's expected everywhere because the cores have just disappeared.
Right, so it's more like they're going to call it the arcade, and it's just going to be
Xbox 360 arcade, and it's got a picture of Pac-Man and stuff like that on the front.
Which is kind of, I suppose, with a bigger memory card, you can fit more arcade games onto it, and you can swap them about as you please because once you download them, you can delete them and download something different.
Hopefully. Anyway, also in the news, Sony have opened their big mouths over compatibility. You know, everyone said, oh, it's Sony trying to save money. Right? Because, you know, if they didn't have the Motion Engine chips in Europe, they said, oh, yeah, save costs on that. But now with the 40 gigabyte PlayStation 3,
mm-hmm.
there's no compatibility at all. And everyone thought, oh, it's costs because Sony didn't want to spend more time developing like the backwards compatibility software. To add more games, and some Sony exec opened his big mouth and said, oh no, it's nothing to do with that at all, it's to stop people from playing old games and get them to buy new ones instead.
Ooh, I just shot my foot off.
So yeah, congratulations Mr. Sony man, that's some good propaganda. Good propaganda for the cause, the Xbox cause.
Boing.
But we also do like the Wii. And we do like the PlayStation 3 because it is a good game machine. The on and eject buttons are quite nice. The controllers aren't very good. The controllers are just so light. There's nothing there.
You need a little bit of substance to them.
Yeah. And some games.
I think it would be... I can imagine the PlayStation 3 being good...
If it had some games...
If you could... Yeah. If they ended up like PlayStation 2 game amount, you knock the price down to £300 from the top one, the top Uber PlayStation 3 down to £300, and they give it a boost in technology like they did with the PlayStation 2, you know, when they made it into the Slimline. I preferred the Slimline. It was the best technological jump on a
what top loading, dude?
Much better than a HoverDisc.
Shut up. They show all these pictures of the thing standing up on its side. But do you know how awkward it is to try and take the disc out with the thing on its side?
I enjoyed my Slimline. It's quite good.
I'm not saying. What is this? The flipping GameCube?
I just find it much.
I want a nice Wii style tray. That's what the Xbox should have.
Yeah.
A Wii style slot loading drive.
I'm not saying. that it should be top loading PlayStation 3. What
oh
I'm
my god, imagine a top. Yeah.
It would be the George Foreman, wouldn't it? No, what I'm saying is get rid of that shape and get it a little bit more compact.
Get it flat. Get rid of all your stupid wonky curves, which try and make it look cool, because it just means you can't put your box on the thing where you're playing on it. Like, everyone always puts the games for the game they're playing on the Xbox. They put the box on the Xbox and it doesn't fall off because the Xbox has a flat top.
Dang.
Well, it's a little bit curved,
but it's concave.
But you can put things on it.
It's got an inhale. Don't go blue. Don't go blue.
I go red before I go blue.
But yeah, it.
Ooh, I feel bad now.
Right, so next piece is.
Also in the news, EA, everybody's favourite publisher, wants a single open platform.
A single open platform?
And that they spew out all this crap about how consumers want this. But it isn't consumers at all. They want it so they don't have to develop on lots of different platforms. They would rather have one platform to develop on. Well, the thing is, in Windows land, we have that.
Yeah.
We have Windows on 9 out of 10 machines in the whole world. There is an open platform. It's called Windows. And you develop on it. Of course, what they want is just to... make the hardware as cheap as possible so people can spend more money on their games.
Yeah, it's... You know, you can't really... You couldn't really do that well. It would be a hard thing to do, because the great thing about...
Well, no, it would be really easy to do, but it won't happen as long as Sony and Nintendo are in business.
Yeah.
When Microsoft have 90%+ of the market, Microsoft, I predict, will pull out of the hardware market, let Sony and Nintendo make the hardware, and Microsoft supplies the platform, which unifies it.
Yeah, and it would just be console PCs.
Well, no, it wouldn't even be console PCs.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could buy a Mac, but it is just a PC.
Buy a what?
You know, those white things, boating anchors, Mac's boating anchors. You know, basically inside it is just PC hardware. It'd be the same thing. It's like, you know, they put together and they'd load on a gaming operating system.
Yeah, they'd load on the 360 operating system.
Yeah.
Ah, the 360. The 360 UI is so much better than the PS3.
But you can just imagine, instead of it being the Xbox 360, it'd be like Sony's UI, but it's all...
It'd be the Sony PlayStation running Xbox software.
Yeah, but it would all look and design how they want it to.
Oh, no, we don't want that. We know what happens when PC manufacturers do that. They put all this crap all over the place.
Yeah, you can just imagine if Microsoft gave it so they could add their logos where they wanted to. They can only change so much, but to give it their feel of whatever they want. And then you could have whoever you wanted doing their own version. So you could have, like, Samsung would bring out their own box, shove in this hardware, hook it up, build it...
Integrated into TVs.
Into the TV, and you just buy an Xbox 360 wireless, hooks it up, and you can be playing any game you want on it. It is, in a perfect world, yeah, it'd be great, but...
Well, there's two ways to achieve this. One...
A console war has to end and someone's got to win.
Hang on. Two ways to achieve it. One, we are victorious in the revolution and we put the console market under direct control of the workers. Because then the workers will say, this is ridiculous. You have all these things competing against each other and you're wasting so much time and resources on it. Simplify, man! Second result, Microsoft established a monopoly.
But the console war.
But I would rather the first option. The Ministry of Gaming presents Game Operating System 1.
Yeah, because there's always been rumors
under
about
command of General Kornilov.
Yeah, there's always been rumors.
Evil counter-revolutionary evil person who is indoctrinating our children into his counter-revolutionary tendencies to restore private ownership and the monopoly of evil Sony.
I remember back in the day that there's always been a random console that someone said might be coming out that's made by a third-party electronics company which would play every...
Flextronics. They manufactured a PS3 and the 360.
And would make
and
console,
probably the Nintendo
make
Wii.
A console with hardware that could play all of the games. Obviously, this is pre-PlayStation. They said, yeah, you could fit any cartridge into it and stuff like that. And, you know, they're all about, you know, it would run everything. And fair enough, they've all gone in their different technological aspects of moving in different directions. And the console wars pushed more and more aspects of gaming that probably would never existed because always competing against each other. There's nothing wrong with a bit of competition to push the thought process to design something really, really good. And if it was just one company out there...
No offense, if all the Sony engineers, all the Nintendo engineers, and all the Microsoft engineers stopped squabbling and worked together, they would achieve something which would blow anything they could achieve otherwise apart.
Mm.
It would just be gone, man. Their consoles would just fall apart under their own weight in light of this new communist gaming system.
Mm. Yeah, it would be quite cool.
So yeah, this is absolutely hypocritical of EA. And the language they use says, speaking to the BBC, Florin, I guess that's some sort of EA man, said that numerous incompatible consoles on the market are making things too difficult for both consumers and publishers. We're platform agnostic, and we definitely don't have the don't want to have one platform which is walled in. So yeah, they don't want that because they don't want 14 different teams developing 14 different versions of the same game. They would rather sack the 13 other teams and just have the one team working on it.
Bit like if you, like, at the moment we've got the war between Blu-ray and HD DVD, and you had...
Zavort is going veil, comrade.
And the same with when you
evil
had DVD...
Blu-ray is stumbling.
When you had DVD coming out and finally everything was organised and it was DVD and that was it. Everybody...
You just have DVD.
And everybody...
There's nothing else.
And it was kind of like a set of rules. It would be nice if it had that sort of thing where, you know, Sony could make their console however they wanted to, Nintendo could do theirs, and Xbox could do theirs, but it was kind of like a set way of doing it.
A standard way of doing it.
Yeah, and...
A standard.
Everybody could build to a platform, so if you built one game, you just burn it onto a code, it a certain way, burn it onto a disc, you'd work on that one, and it would work on that one, you wouldn't need segregated teams. But obviously, that there's no way of having somebody say, you know, saying, right, Microsoft, you can only build up to this on technology and Sony's got to build up to the same. Because then at the end of the day, you would have to have something majorly different because the PlayStation and the Xbox would be identical. It'd
good.
Just be a different, it'd be a different coloured box, where the Wii would be the only one standing out differently because obviously it's below the barrier of spec, yet has all the other groovy features. And it would all be on features, not spec. Which, fair enough, would be quite good because you wouldn't have a battle of the specs, it'd be a battle of the features. You've lost your pen on the floor, haven't you?
Yeah, it's gone walkabout.
There's your ball. You've got that.
Here you go.
You want to have it like on a bit straight, I think. That's what laughed it.
Yeah, don't just throw it around.
Yeah.
So yeah, EA want a single open platform. Well, EA can go on wishing for it because it's not going to happen soon.
It's getting close to Christmas, so let's say what all parents say. What EA wants and what EA gets are two different things. So we'll have to watch this space. But obviously, if you the answer to this, it isn't an answer, but it's a direction, is look at the history from the days of the Nintendo Entertainment System and the Sega Master System, and look at what's happened from then to this point. We can only imagine what's going to happen from this point to the future. So we'll have to wait and see which companies stay in the running to determine how the platforms continue. Because one thing I'm curious about, we are on the first platform that is updatable. The Xbox 360, if you had one box, mint condition, first release Xbox 360, and you didn't hook it up to the net, and you turn it on, and you get one today that's fresh updated, or one out of the box that's standard, and sit them side by side and look at features, you've dropped that bloody ball again. You need to stop playing with that.
You throw this around it.
Yeah, play with your memory stick. There is quite a large jump. If you look at you've dropped that as well now. Stop it. If you look at all release games, Xbox 360 launch games, and maybe a few of the ones that came out straight afterwards, and then you and you measure up the features for the Xbox 360 and how it looks, the interface.
The 360, man.
And then you look
good
at...
Good game machine.
You look at the games that have come out, the quality of them, and then you look at games quality today and the features that are on Xbox 360 today. The jump is so big. The only way you could have done that previously would be to release a new console. And
yeah,
no one would ever do that.
That is how Sony would have previously done it. It would be a remodel.
Yeah. Or you would wait until you'd done up the next number.
Sort of reminds me of macOS and the constant revisioning, which costs $130.
Where at least with the Xbox 360, some of the features that would have been put on the drawing board for the next console, when they release the next one, are just updates. And it's interesting that maybe this is a big future change for the Xbox 360 and the gaming console industry.
Definitely.
You know, maybe it's going to actually stretch out the time scale between the next generation. Maybe the next generation will take a lot longer to come because we're updating a lot faster.
On the plus side, the company's games division, this is Sony,
mm-hmm.
posted a loss of more than $1 billion after its first and second quarter financial results. And analysts are fretting over the PS3's September sales. I bet they are.
So what's this? Despite unforeseen 1 billion hit due to
this faulty... This is Microsoft's 1 billion 3-year warranty jobby.
Yeah.
But still says Sony have a loss of 1 billion anyway.
Oh dear. So what's next on this? It's... Yes.
Quick news item, which is a bargain alert for everybody out there in gaming land. The 5 free HD DVDs offer is now on. So any machine bought from the 1st of October through to the end of January next year, you'll be entitled to get a selection of 5 HD DVDs. So this applies for Microsoft's Xbox 360 HD DVD drive.
You can get a form to fill out, and you get
The form is a PDF file on Xbox.com.
Which you get to tick it on. It works in the three categories: category A, B, and C. Category A, you pick 2. Category B, you pick 2. And category C, you pick 1. So, for argument's sake, for category A, you got to pick 2 DVDs. So, you've got Serenity, Children of Men, Chronicles of Riddick, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, and The Hulk. And category B, you got to pick another 2. So
speaking
you've
of hoorah, where the hell is Darth Ura?
I know, he's not gone for ages. You got Troy. What's that? The Prestige. Or
the Prestige one.
The Prestige, Full Metal Jacket, Swordfish, and the Corpse Bride. And category Z, where you got to pick 1, you got Black Rain, Dreamgirls, and the World Trade Center.
So although they may not be killer releases, they're
free.
Yeah.
So to get that, it's nice to be able to have something to watch on there. So, and I must admit, there's a couple of here.
Well, there's
that
a couple of good
own.
Films.
I know I already own Chronicles of Riddick and Serenity. I don't own The Hulk, and I'd be tempted to get that for free because I'd like to boost up my Marvel collection. Tokyo Drift, I'm not that fussed on. I've got the first 2, and I think I'll leave it at that. Chronicles of Riddick, I'd be tempted to because I do have that, and it's quite a good film. But I know that I have a hard time making Sarah watch anything that's got Vin Diesel in. Serenity, I want to get just for owning Serenity. So I must admit, I'd be kind of like Hulk or Chronicles of Riddick for that one. I'd definitely get Troy and probably get Full Metal Jacket because I got Swordfish, but it's not a sort of film you'd want to watch in high definition. It doesn't scream or affect watching high definition. It is good, but you don't watch it.
Trust me, dude. If you watched an HD DVD, you would disagree with that statement.
Yeah, true.
You'd say, oh my god, I cannot go back to the DVD version.
Yeah, I have yet to experience full high definition. Fair enough, I've been watching PC files in high definition through the laptop onto it and watching Heroes, which is kind of like...
Next week, ooh. I'll bring the HD DVD drive up here and we can have a quick 5-minute watch of something.
Cool. Very cool.
So yeah, that's cool. I think the offer is going to apply to Toshiba... set-top boxes as well, set-top players, but I'm not sure what the status of that is at the moment. But in North America, they did it on the Toshiba players and the Xbox 360 drives. So do if you are buying an HD DVD drive, do check to see if the offer is on for that particular one. But any 360 ones, the offer is on. Just buy it new, and because I doubt they'd honor second-hand ones.
Yeah.
So buy a new one. But you have to send the like Barn Hood off.
Cool. Right.
And the receipt.
Two reviews from you.
Yes, you have a fun time with me. Now, Episode 2, which is the Half-Life 2 expansion pack, is out. It's on my computer, and I have played it. I'm about one-third through it, so this isn't a final review. But I will have to give it 5 out of 5
mm-hmm.
off the bat. 1, it's Half-Life 2, which is a good game. 2, it's Half-Life 2, which is a good game. And 3, it carries on Half-Life 2, which was a good game.
Does it carry on nicely from where
I have... Oh, yeah, it carries on...
Episode 1 left off.
Episode 1, spoiler alert. So skip ahead 10 seconds if you haven't completed Episode 1. Episode 1, you're running away from City 17 on a train. Episode 2, you start right off on that same train again.
Cool.
Because the thing was exploding. Okay, spoiler alert over now. You can continue listening as normal.
So you...
It throws you right back in there straight away. I have to say, there are a few things which are annoying... In that, you know, that they give you something to do, like go to this place, and something happens, and you have to go do something else. And I really hate things like that. I just want to get to the flipping place. I don't want to be munching around my way through such and thing to blah 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 to fix this and blah 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 fix that and blah blah blah. I just want to go to the thing. Don't give me an objective and then send me on a sidetrack. You know, don't sidetrack me off. Like
obviously, because you haven't got to.
Because it's annoying.
Obviously, because you haven't got to the end, you have yet to find out whether they shove you at another cliffhanger and there's going to be an episode 3.
Yeah, there's going to be an episode 3. It's going to involve a portal device and a black hole. You're going to fire the portal gun at the floor, and then you're going to fire one at a black hole. And then we're going to watch what happens. I predict the results will be bad.
Yeah.
So you have the G-Man's in it again.
Yeah.
The G-Man's cool. The wrong place in the wrong man can make all the difference in the world, Mr. City 17. Or something like that. I don't know what he says. Catherine isn't here to help me.
But yeah, definitely...
The wrong man in the right place can make all the difference in the world. The right man in the... Yeah, it's the right man in the wrong place. Isn't it?
Yeah. Would you say that it's definitely makes Orange Box a must-have for this year?
Oh yeah, I mean, Episode 2 and Team Fortress are the two main bits of Orange Box.
That are the
no offense to Portal, but it isn't a game I'd buy.
It's just Portal is just something to make Orange Box just that little bit more sweeter, to make you feel like you're getting some good for it. Because I must admit, especially for like, you know, go buy this on PC or even buy this on Xbox 360, you're spending normal price. Yet you're getting 5 games. Because you're getting Half-Life 2.
Which I've already got. Episode 1, which I've already got. So yeah, I still need somebody to give all that crap away to.
Yeah. So we're going to have to try and think up something on
Our listenership is up 20%, by the way, from last week.
Cool.
I think everyone's interested in my competition.
Yeah, we're still thinking on the competition.
If you get 1,000 people to listen to the show, we'll give you a copy of Half-Life.
But
you need a Steam account, which spoils the whole experience. So yeah, there's some really good bits in it as well, some good fight scenes, which, you know, defensive fight scenes and...
Any upgrades on, like, the weapons and stuff like that?
Not that I've noticed so far. I don't really want to give too many spoilers away, but you get into more detail about some of the aliens you encounter.
That's cool.
Is there you get to see really more of what they're about and how their colonies work and all that.
The way it finishes off on episode 1, does it...
The Vortigons, though, I think they turned the Vortigons into a bunch of hippie freaks.
Because obviously when you got to the end of episode 1, you had a load of weaponry and stuff like that. Obviously,
that's all disappeared.
Yeah.
And you just have the... you start off with a gravity gun. So, for some reason, that weapon survived the train ride. But all the rest of the stuff must have fallen off the train or something.
Yeah. It would have been nicer if they kind of let you have everything or look at the file of what you'd done on the previous one and let it carry on. would have been nice if they'd done something like that, but I suppose they can't ruin the game by letting you walk straight onto that episode 2 with
everything. All the weapons and guns blazing.
It would have been better to let you have it for a few minutes and then have some excuse for it all to like disappear or something like that.
Oh, they've got an excuse for it all to disappear then.
Alright.
Don't get me wrong. Stuff happens.
Oh, that's cool.
Stuff happens big time.
Cool, big stuff. Okay, your next review is of...
The Civilization 4 expansion pack, Beyond Zisor.
Mm-hmm.
So this came out a few weeks ago. I got a copy this week. First impressions, oh my god, they've changed so much stuff. Because it's a lot more than Warlords was. Mm. They've changed the user interface a bit. They've changed like the cursor icons. They've done a lot with this expansion pack. Mm. There are a few problems with it. Number one, out of the box, on Windows Vista, it requests elevation for administration rights. So it actually has a flipping file. It's called a manifest file. And they included one in the final product of the game to elevate the damn thing. So you start playing it out of the box, and it requests elevation. And I'm like, what the f***? I'm not going to let this program have full rights to my box. So you download the latest patch, and it fixes it. But that's really pathetic that wasn't flipping caught before it was released.
Mm.
I mean, that's just retarded. So the new features of the game, there's loads of new like civilization dudes, like leaders. There's like 6 new civilizations and maybe about 10 new leader people. There's like Lincoln and some dude and some other dude and a bunch of other people who I don't know. And the main thing which will strike you as you're playing the game early on is the animation. They've really redone the animation of the people moving across the map and all that, so that looks a lot better. I don't think you'll notice early on in the game is espionage. So you can train spies much earlier on in the game now and go and do your things, and you can, like the science and culture budgets, or you know, the entertainment budget, you have a new budget for espionage. So the more you spend on that, the more points you can use to like sabotage enemy production and things like that.
Have you noticed of any of the features from the second expansion pack still being heightened in this, or it feels like they've tweaked again from the things they added from the last expansion pack?
Well, there are a few twists with our vassal states now, in that you can create your own vassal states by having like an overseas colony. You can spin them off into your own vassal state if you really just can't be bothered with the maintenance costs and all that. So that's cool.
That's cool.
Because I liked like forcing people to be my little friends.
I suppose.
Because before you can only do it militarily with other civilizations.
Yeah.
Now you can spin off your own civilization.
I suppose.
But if you want to reconstitute them into your empire, you need to reconquer them.
Right. I suppose you can also shove in one of the other expansion pack disc or stuff like that and actually play from the
previous... Yeah, you can still play off the other two versions of the game.
Right.
You've still got... it's all separate executables.
Oh, that's cool.
So that still works that way.
Because obviously one of the big things is the scenarios. So you've got scenarios for the first game, scenarios
yeah.
for the second expansion pack.
Nobody really plays the scenarios, to be honest.
Yeah.
So you've got a few new scenarios. You've got like World War One and World War Two scenarios now, and stuff like that, which I haven't played yet. I haven't even got through the first game yet. I'm only about 1850 odd in my existing game at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly at war with everybody. I just said, okay, this game, I'm going to be uber aggressive. So I contact China. I get the Chinese dude, not the decent bloke, Mao Zedong. I get the other nasty crap dude. And it's like, oh my god, he's got a city near me. Let's pump out the warriors. Rush his city, wipe him out. Then I encounter some other dude. I'm in the process of wiping him out now, as you no doubt saw, with like massive numbers of Cossacks all along my borders. So yeah, it's like uber war at the moment. So yeah, that's cool, but so I'm probably going to end this in like a domination victory or something, because I'm just going all out, guns blazing. But you've got a new space race ending, so you can like make a faster spaceship, and you actually have like a solar system map as well. And
yeah,
although I haven't actually tried any of that yet.
Because the other thing they said with that is that on the original launch of this game,
the spaceship, that was it.
You game won, over. And then you launched. But on this one, you can build it and launch and build a better one and try and beat your friend to this place. So
Alpha Centauri.
It's got that ability that it's not over until the fat lady sings, sort of thing. So you've got that ability to keep fighting, or you could even, I suppose, you could win by domination, even though they've already sent their spaceship off. So it's not necessarily building a spaceship. So
yeah, there is new units in the game, although I have yet to encounter any.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing as Russia at the moment.
I suppose they added a lot more for the future things, because I did see something that looked like mech bots on the thing.
Like I said, I'm only 1850, so I'll have to wait a bit.
Yeah. I think I'll have to pick up a card. I have noticed that they have released...
It feels a lot more polished as well.
Yeah.
Although it still has the same old bugs as Civ 4 does in some cases. Like the scrolling and all that stuff happening by itself.
I have noticed that they've released a new Civilization
box. Civilization Complete Pack, yeah.
Which is Games for Windows.
Yep, £30.
Which is quite good if you haven't yet got that far. You don't have to feel that you've got to try and find an old copy of Civilization 4, then buy the next expansion pack, and then buy the other expansion pack. Have you got the expansion pack box for Beyond the Sword around?
I do not have the box, no. Not up here.
I was going to say...
It's downstairs.
Curious whether or not it requires having the middle expansion pack. If it's one of those that you need the middle one, or it kind of like bypasses it.
I don't know.
But it's quite a good set if you wanted to, if you're new to
like strategy games, if you like laid back strategy games where you've got as much time as you want to goof things around, yeah, you've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
But you've also, there's a few other additions like a natural disaster, so a city can have an earthquake which will kill some of the population.
Mm.
And you can offer to send aid to other civilizations. And there's a few things like that as well.
It gives you more, I suppose.
But for someone like me, who generally plays it quite quickly, a lot of that is just fluff.
Yeah.
Which gets in the way of my main objective, which is total war.
Where if you didn't want to have war and you wanted to keep a good balance and run your country like a proper country, warring at the beginning cutting the wars off as your civilization.
Are you saying I'm not running my country properly?
No,
my people have vested absolute power in me.
Oh yeah,
you will show me some respect.
You know what I mean? If you ran it like it is in the real world, sort of thing, where once you get to the technological civilization,
wars become much more sophisticated.
Yeah, but you start
in that you just blow people up from far away.
It becomes defense, and you're not really at war, and it you end up
defense. What, like Britain's at war, invading every country?
You know,
every 10 minutes.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. The fluffy stuff becomes a little bit more usable if you were a person who was trying to play it via other means and not
maybe
the whole war.
But most games I've won with Space Race.
Yeah,
and cultural victories. So I don't normally go for all-out war.
Mm.
Although I do like building loads of nuclear weapons.
Just to have them.
Just to have them ready. Just so when I win the game, I can fire all my nukes. Yeah. In your face, you Persian scum.
I've yet to complete one game yet. But when you complete it, does it allow you to still move stuff around, or is it...
Yeah. Once you've gone through all the ending bits, like the stats and all that, you have an option to say... end of history, blah blah blah, just give me one more turn, and you just click on that and carry on playing.
And you
but
just
the
one
game
more.
Yeah, the game normally ends in 2050, but you can carry on playing. You just need to wait until all the ending scenes are over.
So for argument's sake, say you didn't get very far through history and you were quick enough on the button for killing off in war that you won via domination, you could continue on your civilization to its end if you wanted to.
Oh yeah, if you want. It'll get pretty boring after a while.
Yeah, obviously. But
because, I've wiped everyone else out and it's just me.
Yeah.
I know what I'll do. I'll build that hospital in Odessa there. Let's do that. That they could do with a hospital.
So that sounds good. I think I have to go pick a copy.
I give it 4 out of 5. I'm marking it down because of that stupid bug.
Which they could have had a good opportunity.
Which they only needed one monkey to test. And they would have spotted it.
Especially the fact it's on installation.
Well, installation has to elevate anyway. unless they install it to your user directory, which is a bit odd if it's like a 1 gig game. But it's the first time you play it. You know, first you bring up like the Games Explorer, and after like a second or two, a shield icon comes up, which is Windows having a look at the executable saying, okay, this executable wants to elevate. And it's just, dude, it shouldn't do that. Especially because that elevation will break parental controls and all the rest, because the standard user won't be able to play the game, because it wants administrative rights, which is ridiculous.
Cool. Right, I think that's it for this week. Hopefully by next week I shall definitely have got a copy of Legend of Zelda Hourglass. So I'll be doing a review on that. Be playing it my lunch break at work.
No doubt.
Hopefully pick up a copy of Orange Box, I'll be able to do a review on what that's like on
what's
the Xbox.
It like? Apparently it's quite quirky, so I hear.
On the Xbox 360.
Apparently multiplayer is lacking features and like polish.
Really?
Yeah, and apparently there's a lot of cases of people dropping out of the game if their team is losing in Team Fortress.
That's just because of the players, not because of a bug as such.
Well, it's because of the players are a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, true.
Slap them around the face. Quit in the middle of a match. What'd you start a match for if you have to go halfway through?
What are the specs like for
specs on the Xbox 360? You need an Xbox 360.
I meant the PC in comparison. Because obviously I run Half-Life. I can run
if Half-Life 2 runs, it will run.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they haven't booted.
Because at the end of the day, there's no difference.
Yeah, running that engine.
Running that engine, the graphics aren't any higher. Sure, there's a. There's dynamic lighting if your graphics card supports that and so on.
It's that whole jump, do I go back to PC?
Well, on the Xbox 360 you get achievements. But on the PC you also get achievements, you just don't get gamer score.
Oh dear. Right, we will be back next week. We'll see you guys then.
Episode 94, where I will finish off my episode 2 review.
Yeah.
Hopefully if I have it finished by then. Which I probably will.
Catch you guys later.